Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We all have trouble admitting the truth sometimes. Who put the artichoke leaves down the disposal?
Wasn't me.
And who tracked in dirt on the carpet?
Wasn't me.
Who left the hose on in the backyard?
Wasn't me.
We know it wasn't your fault, but now it's got to be cleaned up. And who's going to help you more than Lou? You're tuned in to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini's taking your calls till 10. So give him a call, take notes, and blame the dog. Here he is now, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts
she
Radio.
Call me Mr. Bombastic, tell me fantastic. Touch me on me box, she says I'm Mr. Romantic.
I guarantee you, I am the only person on radio that does a home improvement show that would play music like this. Right? I'm pretty sure. Right? Maple's gone. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by Design First Builders, by Ace Hardware, and by NSS Exteriors. Good morning, everybody. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 is the number. Good morning to Maple. Good morning to Joe Brand. How are we doing this morning?
Good morning.
Doing good, Lou. Morning.
Yeah, everybody's good. Nice to see you this morning. It's it's dark outside. It's really dark. That's the time change this morning. Normally we have the sun shining in the summer coming through, but no, notice how dark it is this morning. Did you two dress up for Halloween?
No. I don't celebrate
Joe?
Halloween.
I did not.
Joe, you should just always be Eeyore. And I think I have an Eeyore costume from years ago that I could lend you.
Okay. I mean, I was Winnie the Pooh once, I think. So I guess I could just hit all the characters from that show.
We, in our neighborhood on the Northwest Side, we normally, this is a kind of a bragging right of my wife, because we usually give out one piece of candy to every child. And on average, we give out 600 pieces of candy. That's how many trick-or-treaters come. That's how we keep track. And I dress up in the bear costume. Have you seen me in the bear costume, Joe?
Bear in the big blue house.
Bear
yes,
in
I
the
have.
Big blue house. And I've had the costume for 20 years. I will tell you that this Halloween with the snow, it was perfect bear weather. I mean, I could have been in shorts and a t-shirt under the bear costume because I was so comfortably warm.
How many trick-or-treaters did you get, though?
So my wife said, go with two or three pieces, because we don't want to end up with a lot of candy. We estimate we had 200 trick-or-treaters.
That's still a lot.
So I know. So it was so, you know, so these little girls come in their princess outfits, you know, and they've got a parka on, and all I can see is the bottom 4 inches of their, you know, of their gown, whatever there is. I'm like, oh, look at you. What princess are you? And these little four-year-old girls will say, I'm Ariel or whatever, you know, and they're all in winter boots, and the kids were still dedicated. So I go, I like your commitment. I'm happy for your commitment. Right, Lindsay, you said it was Snow City with your girls, right?
We were out until 8 o'clock, which was the end of... I mean, my oldest daughter was ready to rock.
Wow.
Yeah. She's mine.
Yeah, she loves... Yeah, she loves a good... Yeah, you are Halloween... It's probably your favorite... One of your favorite.
I do love it.
Yeah.
But I was telling you on the way down here, it was almost like I was mad at Christmas. Because I felt like it was like stepping on Halloween's
tail.
Shoes. Yes.
Yeah, right. Snowshoes.
Snowing on our parade. Like, you've got your holiday, you just stay there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I feel like in my lifetime now I've had every holiday with a snowstorm. I remember it snowing on Easter once when I was like 10.
Oh yeah.
Even the 4th of July.
Okay, maybe not.
I just wanted to throw that up.
Thanks. Wow, just
actually, you know,
I mean, here he's trying to make like this point, and you just stepped on his tail, Eeyore tail,
and 4th of July just always stepping on Christmas's tail. Lou, have you ever worn the bear costume at a Bears game?
I have not. Evidently there was a staff meeting on Halloween here, and
nobody was dressed up. Don't worry.
No, were you here?
Yeah, I was.
So this is a kind of an aside. Back when we were owned by during the Sam Zell era, there was a staff all-out staff meeting on Halloween as well. And as a joke, the then general manager said, "Oh, and you can costumes are optional." And it was like some, you know, BS that was happening at the meeting, they're talking whatever, and here I come walking in the bear costume.
But only I can do that.
I go, had I known about the meeting, I would have wore the bear costume. Not that I was going to be, I was going to be nice.
Did you get an invite to this past meeting?
I'm sure I did. I just didn't, you know, they didn't acknowledge
maybe
it.
Maybe they were like, Lou, yeah. He's going to show up.
Everybody, because he'll come costume. In the bear costume. So anyway, happy Halloween, everybody. And I do like the Halloween candy. That size is perfect for me. Just a couple pops, right? The little, ooh, this is the perfect little Kit Kat. This is the perfect little Trix bar, whatever
fun
it is.
Fun size.
Fun size. I like it. Delicious. No. Anyway, we'd like to help you this morning. We're here until 10 o'clock. And if you'd like to call us, we have open phone lines. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Our first call this morning is sponsored by bathfitter.com/Lou. This is Tom in Chicago. Tom, good morning. You're on WGN.
How you doing, Lou?
I'm great. How can I help you?
I have a problem with my furnace. I have an offshoot brand. I can't remember the name. I'm in the car right now. But I've had three people come out. It constantly keeps it runs its cycle, and then it shuts off after about 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay.
Then it kicks back on again, starts the whole cycle all over again. Runs for 4 or 5 minutes, shuts it off. It kicks on again. 2 minutes later, kicks back on again right away.
Now, when you said you'd have three different people come out, what have they done so far other than take your money?
All three of them have replaced the igniter. Well, you know, the igniter, it's got the little bar on it at the end.
Well, it sounds to me that it's not an igniter issue, that it's probably a limit switch or some kind of computer issue. What part of Chicago do you live in?
I live on the northwest side, right on the border of Highwood Heights in Chicago.
Okay. So why don't you, for that, I've got two names of people but you're driving in the car, right?
No, I'm pulled over.
Okay. Two different people I want you to call, and they'll solve the problem. Either Dykstra Home Services or American Weathermakers.
Okay, Weathermakers. Okay.
American Weathermakers or Dykstra Home Services, they will solve the problem. This does not sound like an igniter to me. If it lights and it ignites and it goes, there's some issue with the burner, and or there's a thing called a limit switch that as it's sensing the gas coming through the system, that if it doesn't meet the requirements, it shuts the system down. The igniter doesn't sound right to me.
And I've had three of them replaced. They've all said the same thing. Then the unit works for like a day.
Right.
With the new igniter, and then it starts doing it all over again.
How old is the unit?
About 10 years old.
Yeah. This is still a unit you can repair and not have to, don't let anybody tell you. I mean, unless they come to you and say, Tom, you know, the motherboard is gone and, you know, all of a sudden it's $1,000, then, you know, depending on your budget, you got to decide whether you want to spend $1,000 on a 10-year-old unit. But I doubt that it's that.
It's got nothing to do with the thermostat either, right?
It has nothing to do with the thermostat.
Okay, so it's either the switch you said.
The limits, a limit switch, or
the limit switch,
or it's an issue with the computer board or a burner that's not sensing, some sensor in there is not working right.
I will call American Weathermakers.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. It's 7:17 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
Back to your host of House Smarts Radio, Lou Manfredini, on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Kent is, Kurt rather, is in Tinley Park. Hey, Kurt, you're on WGN. Good morning.
How you doing, Lou?
Good. How can I help you?
I just have two questions. I'm having my roof done, and what's the coldest temperature that you should be putting shingles down? I mean, that you shouldn't be putting shingles down.
If there's ice on the roof.
So I was reading 40 degrees, not below 40, but that's fine then, if it's below 40 and there's no ice.
Yeah. It's the issue that happens is if it's really, really cold, the shingles themselves are brittle. But good roofing contractors can get around this. The aggregate, you start to peel it off a little bit as you're putting it on there. So, I mean, you can put a roof on in any weather, but, you know, I would say that, you know, the freezing level right at, you know, 35 degrees, 32 degrees or so would be the place where you'd, if you can, would be better that you waited.
But that being said, it can be done at any time.
Really, the only time you don't want to put shingles on is when it's raining.
Oh, okay, gotcha. And one more question is, I'm going through a roofing company. Is CertainTeed a good shingle?
CertainTeed is a very good shingle. I have it on my own roof. With all of the manufacturers, right? There's good, better, and best, and so you've got to put on what your budget will allow. But as a brand name, they make a very good product, no question.
All right, thank you very much. That's what I need to know.
You got it, man. Drive safely. I appreciate you calling this morning. Let's talk with Bob, who's in Schaumburg. Hey, Bob, you're on WGN. Hey. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Lou. Hey, just real quick, we're having Permasteel do some work, and they asked, how did you hear about us? And I said, Lou Manfredini, and he smiled.
Well, that's nice. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, so anyway, I've had, you know, obviously you have to get toilets eventually, and we've had these totals for like 13 years now. So we're in the market, and we're out looking, and everybody's trying to tell us American Standard or Mansfield. And what do you think is a better product?
Oh, you know, I don't have like a go-to toilet, but what I will tell you is four brands that I think you'll do fine with. American Standard is one, Kohler is another one. Gerber was always known as the plumber's toilet, meaning that a plumber always had a Gerber toilet. And it used to be that Gerber toilets didn't have a lot of style to them, and that has changed quite a bit. They got bought out several years ago, and then they now have more fashionable toilets, you know, as far as if you're going for. Mm-hmm. And then, quite frankly, the Toto toilet. I mean, Toto is a Japanese brand that kind of came on the scene about 20-plus years ago, and really, they were one of the first companies to market toilets. Nobody ever did that. And then Toto became this brand, like, oh, I got to have a Toto, And they're great products, but you, of the brands that I just mentioned, you'll be fine. And Mansfield as well is another brand that's been around forever. And so I don't have a problem with that at all. But if you made me choose, those would be the ones I'd tell you.
Yeah, because eventually, I mean, you're a little remodeling, and sometimes the Toto just looks a little too small. Plus, you get older, you need a little taller.
Listen, Bob, I got to tell you that the comfort height toilets are something I think we should all put in there. In particular, as we get older, and that not even older, but just adults in our own bathrooms at our home. Look, there's not a Manfredini child that's under 6 feet tall. And the two bathrooms and the kids aren't home now, but the two bathrooms that are in that home have standard size toilets. And I'm like, wow, these things are really short. And so I'm a big fan of the comfort height toilets.
Well, thank you very much. And good Thanksgiving coming up to you.
Yeah, you too. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's around the corner now, Thanksgiving. That's great. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Kevin in Libertyville. Hey, Kevin, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, hey, Lou. Question about gutter cables. I'm going to purchase some, and I wanted to get them up, but it snowed this week. And just say I couldn't get them up properly how you're supposed to do it. Can you just lay them in the gutter and plug them in? Would that eliminate my ice damming?
Maybe. I mean, it depends on – it really depends on the type of ice damming that you have. In other words, historically, when you have an issue, do you notice that there's a corner of the house or an area that goes up, you know, a couple of feet where, oh, that's where the big ice jam is? Just by laying the gutter cable in the gutter will keep the ice out of the gutter, but it could still freeze up above. And right. And so, you know, the kind of the preferred method in gutter cables is that you go into the gutter, you loop back up to like the first 16 inches or so on the shingle, and then you loop back down. And so, look, we're going to get warmer weather. I know it's not the kind of thing you want to keep doing, but if you've had repeated problems with this, it's worth the time to do it the right way and make sure that you don't have any issues coming up when the cold weather hits.
And also, once you put those up, will they... Can you leave them up for the summer and the year, or do you have to pull them out?
I mean,
like
it's
your downspout and stuff. You know, for the leaves and
visually, if it doesn't bother you, you don't have to take them down.
Okay, yeah, because you don't see them. It's on the second story, but I've had tremendous ice damming, and I want to put them up the right way.
Yeah,
and the weather hit me before I got a chance to get them up.
Right. And you're okay. Look, it's going to warm up. We're going to get back up to the 40s, I'm sure, and in this month, and there'll be a chance for you to go up there where it's not, you know, you're not fighting the weather to get it all up there. And that way, you can do it the right way. And then the real issue with them is you either leave them plugged in all the time, right?
Right.
Or you can set it up on a thermostat that when it drops below 32 degrees, it kicks on.
Right, that'd be the way to do it.
That would be the way to do it because that way you stay ahead of it, and and then you save a little bit of on your electric bill.
Oh, that's great. I want to do it, and I know it's going to be a break, and I want to do it the right way, and I want your opinion.
That's awesome. I appreciate you calling this morning, and I'm happy to give you my opinion. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Whatever's making you scratch your head this weekend, Lou is here to help.
We've got a problem with black mold.
Got a beep in my living room.
My furnace.
It's humming.
Just give him a call. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Hi, welcome back. Lou Manfredini. House Smarts Radio here on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Hey, Lindsay, guess where I'm going and you're going in March of 2020? Do you have any idea? Think about it. Think the color green. Think the color green.
Uh-huh, green.
And think about a big, thick sweater.
Like an Irish wool sweater?
Like an Irish wool sweater. Think about a leprechaun.
Okay.
And a goat.
I think I know where you're going.
Where are we going?
Yemen!
We're going to Yemen. We are going to Yemen. Lou O'Manfredini, as we call, everyone knows that I'm not Irish at all. But next year, which is pretty amazing, I'm celebrating 25 years here on WGN Radio. So
amazing.
When I started, you were 4.
Yep.
That's actually about right. Anyway, not right.
I mean, kind of.
Kind of. You were closer. You were closer to 4 than I was, that's for sure. But anyway, Lou O'Manfredini, after 25 years here at WGN Radio, my friend Steve Bertrand and your friend Steve Bertrand at stevebertrandtravel.com, we are doing an Ireland adventure. It's a private group journey, 9 days in Galway, Killarney, Cork, Dublin. We're going to depart Chicago on March 19th, 2020. So one of the things Steve said was, you don't want to go to Ireland for St. Patrick's Day. So we're just going to miss it.
Oh, I see. Like, you're like almost there. I see what you did. I actually heard that it's not that fun.
No, like that's not a thing.
It's like
people
an American thing.
Right. It's an American thing. But this is, okay, this is what I really liked about this whole trip. First of all, I convinced you and your friend Michelle to come because we're going to do the radio show from Ireland.
So fun.
And I need a producer. I mean, it just kind of made sense.
Hey, and I'll have an assistant that morning.
And we'll have an assistant. We finally have an intern. She can bring us drinks, right? That's going to be her job. That's what interns do. So here's the deal. I said, Steve, I want to make the trip affordable. He said, not a problem. I go, Steve, I want there to be round-trip airfare nonstop from Chicago to Ireland. He said, no problem. I said, Steve, I only want to stay in 4-star and 5-star hotels. He said, not a problem. But here's what I added to that. My wife and I talked about this after our Spain trip, which was awesome. You know, a lot of times when you go on these tours, Lindsay, you go to a hotel, you check in, you do all the touring, you're exhausted, and you spend one night, and then you got to pack up and go. we're going to stay in, of the one, two, three, four nights, three of the four, we're going to stay in the hotels two nights. So you can kind of chill and really enjoy the area. And there's a bunch of free time included, right? So we're going to be two nights in Galway, two nights in Killarney, one night in Cork, and two nights in Dublin. Breakfast each morning, three-course dinners, luxury motor coach and services with a professional driver. One of the things that Steve and his travel company do, they have these great tour guides. And so you're going to learn a bunch of stuff while we're there, which I love. We're going to visit the Cliffs of Moher, the Dingle Peninsula, the Galeras Oratory. We're going to take a boat excursion to the Garnish Island, and we're going to go to Blarney Castle. We're going to do a Dublin food trail. That's where you go to these restaurants where they boil everything and then they add salt. It's delicious. That's my Irish cooking joke. I'm kidding. Don't text me. I want you to come with us. It's going to be so fun. $3,500 per person. All in. Who's with me?
Me.
Grab your shillelagh. Grab your shillelagh. Right? Isn't that Irish? Shillelagh? Isn't that a thing? Come on, help me.
I don't know.
What's your last name? Out.
Smittick.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm going to get you into all the cool places. You just stick with me.
Right. So we'll have Lindsay and there we go. So come with us. If you'd like to come, call Steve, 847-606-6065. There's already 32 people signed up. So there's only, I think, 14 spots left. And this is March of 2020. Come with me and celebrate 25 years on WGN. Be part of our show in Ireland. How fun does that sound?
History. Be part of history.
Or you can email Steve at stevebertrandtravel.com. Steve at stevebertrandtravel.com. All right, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll get to your phone calls right after this.
You ready? Oh, yeah.
For us?
One, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Two. Without further ado, do-do-do-do, here's Lou.
That's my family. They're big Lou fans. Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini, and House Smarts Radio. There must be a
higher love. For you people texting us, if you want to call Steve Bertrand about our island trip, it's 847-606-6065. 847-606-6065. It's on my Facebook page as well. And when you call Steve, if you call him today, this morning, actually call him now and say, what about the land? What about the land? That'll get you a special discount. Not really. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Michelle's in Riverside. Hi, Michelle. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. What about the land?
Well, you don't quit your day job because
you are
not Tom Cruise.
All right, you're right. I'm taller, though.
No, very true, very true.
How can I help you?
Lou, I have a question regarding refinishing my garage floor. We live in a mid-century modern house here in Riverside, and we have radiant heat through all the floors.
In the garage?
In the garage, too.
Wow.
So over the years, you know, from the car coming in from the outside, we try and knock all the snow off of the car, but we always bring some in. So over the years, I'm sure with the combination of the water and the salt, it's broken up that like skim layer of, yeah. So my husband cleaned all that up and he put some sort of concrete patch over everything to reseal it. But now we're thinking of using a product like Rock Solid, I've heard you mention.
Right.
And Tintcrete or whatever that is.
Tintcrete.
Yeah, Tintcrete. Right, right. Which of those two do you recommend doing?
How big is this garage?
2.5 car.
Okay.
It's, it's probably close to 500 or 600 square feet.
Can I talk you into something else?
Sure, definitely.
So you are familiar with the company WeatherTech, aren't you?
Correct. Yes, I am.
They make the floor mats for your cars, and they make pet
bowls
and cup phone. I think I want one of those cup phones.
Those cup phone holders?
You know, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
There's
like no place to put the phone in my car.
They
make a garage floor system that I don't think a lot of people know about called Tech Floor. And essentially what this is, it's a plastic squared honeycomb system that you would click together and put over the entire garage floor.
Okay.
The water will go through it.
Uh-huh.
The water will drain like it normally does, the pitch away there, and it looks beautiful, and you can drive right over the top of it, and your radiant heat will come up through it. Now, it's going to cost you more than painting the floor, but here's the thing. Michelle, you're going to, and the Rock Solid product from Rust-Oleum is a terrific product. 2.5, 3 years from now, it's going to peel up and you're going to have to redo it again. What's your wonderful husband's name?
Mark.
Mark's going to be like, God bless America. I got to do this
now,
again.
Why would it peel up, though?
Because we live in Chicago.
Oh, I know that.
And so
I've been here all my life.
Right. And so you come in with the car and there's salt in the car and it drips on there. This stuff is all these epoxy paints for the garage floors. They're awesome in Arizona because they don't have this kind of weather. Right. And it's like anything when they say, oh, it's going to last all this. And mind you, I like the product. Okay. But I just got to be honest with everyone to say you're going to redoing this and you're going to retouch it up and this and that. Now, you know, you're going to go buy a Rock Solid kit for, you're going to need two of them to do a 2.5 car garage. You may even need three. So your investment there is, let's say, $150. Okay. And your husband's time to patch the concrete, blah, 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 and take everything out and you go there. Okay. So let's say in the grand scheme of things, you're out $250. That's pretty reasonable, okay?
Yeah.
That Tech Floor, I don't know the exact pricing, but I bet it's $3 a square foot.
Uh-huh.
And you're done.
Okay.
And it's non-slip, and it looks nice.
Right, yeah, because I was wondering about that. Either one of those two products that I mentioned being slick.
Michelle, if you slip and break a hip, that's more than the Tech Floor, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So go to their website, weathertech.com, and then search this product called Tech Floor. And I think they have a way that, you know, you can just measure and I believe you buy it direct from them. And it's a really good product. And it's American made. The company's based in Bolingbrook right here. I've always liked what they had to say about what they were making, and It's good stuff.
I'm familiar with the location because we're right off of I-55 too. So Bolingbrook's just west of us.
Yeah.
So
check it out, and I think that you'll be happy with that. Thanks so much for the phone call. All right, let's talk to Babs in Chicago, Florida. Where are you, Babs?
Well, right now we're in Florida.
Where?
So. St. Petersburg area on the island of Tierra Verde.
Oh, I love St. Petersburg.
It's beautiful.
I want to buy a house in St. Pete Beach.
Well, you know what? We're 5 minutes away from St. Pete Beach, and they're building a house right next door to us. It's a spec house. Welcome to the neighborhood.
How much?
You probably don't want to know.
Well, sure. Come on.
You got the money, Lou.
Oh, come on with me. Come on. I probably got it in my pocket. How much?
They're selling a similar one for $3.25 million.
Wow, that's less than I would have thought. But it's not on the water.
It is. It's on the intercoastal.
Oh, you're going to need to send me a picture. But would I be your neighbor?
You'd be my neighbor.
Do you bake?
Won't be my neighbor.
Do you bake?
I'm making a bread right now.
Oh, my God.
Honey corn.
Babs. Honey, Mary Beth, we're moving next to Babs. How can I help you?
Lou, we're kind of new to the area. We've got 1 foot down here and 1 foot in Chicagoland. And we just bought a boat, which is going to necessitate that we redo our pier. And, of course, we're on salt water. And being new to the area and not knowing everything, we thought we'd call and get your opinion on composite or wood. for a pier in salt water? And, you know, like, does the composite get too hot in the sun? Does it heat up?
Mm-hmm.
Or does the wood, because of the salt water, disintegrate and you got to keep staining it and everything else? Do if you it, have an it, opinion on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, if I was, you know, when I move next door to you and I build my dock. Now, the docks already are in, right? Like with big giant timbers that they pound into the ground?
Ours is. Your house is not.
Okay.
But you're getting a new seawall.
Oh, I am? Oh, well, that's good. Okay. I would 100% in a situation like that do a synthetic. The thing with the synthetics are this. You want to choose, you can get a light gray color so that it'll be more reflective. You know, if you go with the browns, those dark browns, they get hot. There's no question. You're going to be doing the hot foot dance when you're out there if you're in your bare feet. And Trex makes a product called Transcends, and they also have one called Enhance. And if this is a Enhance, right, Lindsay, is that the name, Enhance? So the Enhance line you can get for about $250-$275 a foot, where their Transcends, which have more of a larger color variance, and it's a bendable product, meaning that if you were doing some fancy designs, that's what you would use. That's more like $450 a foot. But the Enhance line, they make a light gray. The biggest issue there is the structure of it when you build it has to be no wider than 16 inches on center. So what this is going to be attached to, the framing of it has to be 16 inches on center or less so that you don't get a lot of warping. And you'll be, by the time I move in and we're having cocktails on your dock, we'll be doing that for the next 20 years and it's going to look the exact same.
Great.
So look
now
at
that. You said that it's bendable. So will that move with any wind or?
No. When I say bendable, meaning that if you were in certain designs of decks, like they'll do a round shape, you know, like the face of it, and it's a product that the more expensive product has the ability to be shaped professionally. The Enhance line, if you were just talking about a big rectangle. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. The quality of the product and the warranty and everything is exactly the same. You just can't do as much with it. As long as the framing is 16 inches on center, it's not going to move, and you're not going to have any problems with it. And over the salt water, that would be great.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I will text you pictures of your lot.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Babs, my new neighbor down in Clearwater. I love it. Come on. We're going.
Okay.
And Ireland, where else are we going?
You just got a boat? I mean,
yeah, what else do we need?
We're there.
We'll call Skipper Buds. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Carol is in Palos Park.
I had gray horned owls in my backyard for over 16 years. And
who?
Gray horned owls.
Who?
Oh. You're a shit.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Fixed up. You're never gonna get my love. Now because you wear all those fancy clothes. Oh, yeah.
Welcome back.
Oh, yes,
this hour of House Smarts Radio, sponsored by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace, AmericasBath.com, and by ChevyDriveChicago.com. You know what I did this weekend? Or this other day? You know, I've had this kind of weight loss thing with my friends at Seattle Sutton. And I purged my closet with all the clothes that don't fit me anymore, Joe Brand.
That's a good feeling. Congratulations.
It was. And we also, I have fancy, this is how you know you're getting to be an adult, when you have fancy hangers. I got rid of all the wire hangers. You know, wire hangers are a tough thing to manage. Like, even when you put them in a bag. Like, we are CD1 price cleaner goers, and they recycle the hangers, you know? You know, Maple, when you get a hanger, and you got a bunch of hangers, you're going to donate them. It's hard to put them in anything. Like, they just can't, they're unruly.
Yeah.
Right?
If you put them in a bag, they rip
the bag. Yeah, it rips the bag and everything. So now we have the, I got these fancy black velvety hangers, and I took all my clothes out of my closet, and I put 3 bags worth of donate. There is some large, needy person out there who's going to have some nice clothes. I'm doing my little bit to help.
Are they the hangers that stack together that make your closet thinner, or at least they're supposed to?
No.
They're like very thin.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those, yeah.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you, it was, first of all, when you take everything out of your closet is filthy. It's filthy. You need the shop vac in there. You got to wipe it all down, like the shelf and everything back there, you know, and where the shoes are in the bottom under the stuff, right? It's gross. I'm there on my hands and knees sucking it all up with the shop vac. Very liberating.
You know, I was going to have just a nice Saturday without a bunch of chores, and now you just made me feel like I got to do so much when I get...
You don't know how many times people come up to me and say that. Yeah, thanks a lot. Hey, yeah, Mr. Fix-It. Thanks a lot. My wife.
What a great day ahead.
My wife listens to you, and every time you say something, Lou said, who the heck is Lou? I go, yeah, I know. What about the land?
Ruining weekend plans.
It's
every
be like the Alaska. What was the
way up north? What about the land? Right. That's what we need that sounder now. If I remember the movie correctly, it wasn't a great movie. I forget who else was in
it. Nicole Kidman. It was like where they met.
Well, see, then it's not a good movie. They're not together anymore.
No,
so obviously, it was more than the land. Look at how happy she is now with who she married to. What's his name? Keith Urban.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they
right?
Do. They love each other.
Yeah, they love each other.
And isn't Tom Cruise in love with Katie Holmes?
No.
No.
Joe, come on.
Isn't that what he said, though, at Oprah's thing? That wasn't the whole thing? I'm in love with Katie Holmes.
Yeah, like 10 years ago.
Right?
Where have you been when he jumped on the couch?
Yeah.
She's been dating, what's his name?
The guy. They broke up, though.
They broke up.
Yeah.
When did they break up?
Jamie Foxx.
She's with Jamie Foxx?
Yeah. Oh my God. What? You know what? Go home and clean your closet right now. Leave.
I guess I'm just very far and away.
He's into a sports. We'll give him a break. He's into a sports.
He is. He's the one and only Joe Brand. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm sorry you all had to listen to that. This is Gina in Hanover Park. Hey, Gina, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
We removed our wall-to-wall carpeting in our living room and dining room combo, only to discover that our subfloor is extremely uneven. So I was hoping to install laminate flooring, and I'm just calling to see, besides putting in new carpeting, what are our options for flooring without having to install a whole new subfloor, which is what was recommended to us.
When you talk about uneven, in other words, is it wavy or are there parts of the floor that are kind of buckled a little bit?
It's wavy.
All right.
It's wavy. And it's a 20-year-old home.
Right. But in other words, that the wavy part, so right now you have a subfloor in the house?
Yes.
Okay. And if you go over to the wavy part and you stand there, is it squishy?
No, it's not squishy. It's just uneven.
Okay. Well,
if you put a level, you know, on top of that area, it's off.
Like it's,
I mean, that's what they told us.
It dips down or something like that.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
I don't. As long as the floor is solid, I don't necessarily think that you need to replace a subfloor. I think you just need to float the subfloor in those areas where it's uneven. And so there is a self-leveling compound called JIFSET, JIFSET.
Okay.
And a flooring contractor would come in and basically pour this out and use a screed and level it all off so that you'd have a nice flat surface. Now, again, this is as long as the subfloor is sound. And so that.
Okay.
And if you're telling me that when I walk over there and I kind of pounce up and down, it doesn't move, then we're okay.
No.
Then,
yeah, that's exactly.
Okay. Then, instead of a laminate, my preferred choice now, if you're going to do one of those resilient types floors, would be to do a luxury vinyl tile.
Okay.
Okay. and you've got a couple of choices. You know, there's big flooring stores like the Floor and Decors of the world that carry that stuff, and then they can help you with installation. Our friends over at Builder Supply Outlet, they sell luxury vinyl tile, and you could talk to them, and I think they could probably connect you with installers. Other flooring companies that you could go out there. Here's the thing that I will tell you. This is an area where you get what you pay for.
We talked
a while ago with a guy. There's a company out of California. I really like this flooring, this luxury vinyl floor called Cali Bamboo. C-A-L-I Bamboo. Okay. Now, Cali Bamboo is the name of the company, but they make luxury vinyl tile, and it's a really high-quality product.
Okay.
There are actually some Ace Hardware stores that are starting to carry this product. They don't install it.
Oh, really?
They don't install it, but they can provide you with the floor, and you can order it through them, and then you get an installer to put in there. And this stuff's about $3.50 to $4 a square foot. It's really good stuff.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. And I could just check with a local Ace store to see if they would help them?
Yeah, or if you go to the Cali Bamboo website, I think it's CaliBamboo.com. I believe they have a dealer locator, and you could start there.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. Thank you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Bill in Prospect Heights. Hey, Bill, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, Lou, I've been in this townhouse out in Prospect Heights for about 18 years, and the garage door opener that's in the garage now was there when I got the unit, so I don't know how old it is. And it opens and closes the door perfect, no problem at all. The unit has two light bulbs on it. One light bulb has never worked, and it's not the bulb. And the other day, I'm now down to no light bulbs. So my question is, how do those garage door openers work the lights? Because it stays on for, let's say, a minute after after the door closes. Now it won't come on at all. And when I unplug the unit and plug it back in, I don't hear any clicking or anything. So how does that switch work? Is it worth my trouble to try and go in there and fix it, or just forget about it?
Well, I mean, there's a timer on the light. There's not, the electronics on those older units is not that sophisticated. There's no clicking. I mean, the first thing I would do is exactly what you did, reset it and see if that's what it is. But the other thing that I would tell you, one other thing before I would spend a lot of time taking this whole thing apart, is unplug the unit, get up on a ladder, take the light bulbs out, and you know the little contact that is on the end that the bulb connects to, the little tongue at the base of the socket.
Uh-huh.
Okay, with the unit unplugged, you're going to take a screwdriver and you're just going to bend that up.
Okay.
Sometimes, maybe, you get a little vibration, the bulb's been in there for a long time, that can bend and not make contact, and maybe just by bending that up a little bit so that you elevate the angle of the tongue when you put the new light bulb in, it may work. If that doesn't work, by the time you take this all out, let me ask you one other thing. On your opener, do you have two safety lights on either side of the door?
No, I don't. Mm-mm.
You don't?
No.
So it's older than 1996.
Right.
I would get a new opener.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Is this something you think you could do yourself?
It is, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I can install a new one, yeah.
Yeah, they're not that hard. You know, the trick with all this is that, you can buy, Chamberlain or Genie. Both are very good products. The Craftsman one, which are made by Chamberlain, are good. You assemble the whole thing, the track and everything, on the ground, right? And then kind of the trick is you take a 6-foot ladder and you put it right underneath that motor, and you unbolt it all, and you rest the motor. Once you get it all unbolted from the framing up in the ceiling, you drop the thing down on the top of the ladder, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you may need another ladder. You go over to where the garage door is closed, right? And you pop that pin on the end of that track. Now you've got that whole unit that's done, you know, it's disconnected. You got to unbolt the arm off the door as well, and you take that down. You put the new assembly with the arm, you clip the pin, you bolt it back up, and, you know, this is probably a two and a half hour job that you can do yourself.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. I got a clear picture of how to do that then. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I would, without those eyes, you've got an older unit that if the tongue thing works with the bulb, you're good to go. If not, then I'd replace the unit.
The unit's about 30 years old, 29 years old, and I think it might have been the original. So, yeah, it's probably time. But, yeah. One other quick thing, Lou. Were your ears ringing about 7 o'clock last night? I was in an event where your name came up. Yesterday was the five-year anniversary of the grand opening of the Habitat for Humanity Restore at the corner of Pulaski and Peterson.
Oh, really?
And you were the master of ceremonies at that grand opening.
I think I was there. I don't know if I was a master of ceremonies, but it was fun. And that Restore a spot on Pulaski over there in Peterson is, I'm just so happy for the amount of activity that's going in and out of that place. And, you know, we donate a bunch of stuff that continually from our Edgebrook store when we get stuff that's out of the, you know, whatever, we can't sell it or whatever. And I'll get in there every now and then, and I'm just impressed. That staff over there is doing a terrific job. So happy anniversary. That's great.
Great. Good news. Thanks.
You got it. Take care. Appreciate you calling this morning. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 8:21 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
And now, back to my dad, Lou Manfredini, on House Smarts Radio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back. It's me, Lou Manfredini, 312-981-7200, and this is House Smarts Radio. Rick's in Naperville. Rick, good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. My question is, I clean a grout/tile in my shower, and I got some of the cleaner on my, it was a spray cleaner, I got some on my glass door, and I don't know how to get it off. I tried a couple mild things, like Windex and stuff like that. What would you recommend?
All right. There is a product, a powdered product that you can should be able to get at the Ace in Naperville called Bright and Clean.
Bright and Clean.
It's
all right.
It's a powder, and this powder you're going to put on a microfiber towel that's wet. So you're going to get the thing wet, and you're going to rinse it out so it's damp. You're going to sprinkle a little bit of this on there, and then gently clean the inside of that glass, and that should bring it back to life.
All right. It's called Bright Clean?
Bright and Clean. And it's BRITE, Bright and Clean. It comes in a little, like it almost looks like a salt shaker when you buy it. And they should have They should have it at Ace.
All right, Lou. Thank you. I do appreciate it. And have a great day.
You too. I appreciate you calling as well. You know what? It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. It's time to tackle that tile project now, so you can take advantage of Tom's blowout tile sale. Boost your bathroom's appeal with a new tile floor, or kick up the kitchen a notch by adding a new bold backsplash. There's over 100,000 square feet of tile, porcelain, ceramic, granite, marble, with prices starting as low as 39 cents. That's crazy. All shapes and sizes to fit any size space. You cannot beat these prices, but you can miss out if you don't get into Builder Supply Outlet soon. He's smooth.
Well, you know, I'm shy. I don't like to talk.
He's got a way with his words.
When you open it back up again, that hot, moist air may bring it back again.
Ugh, not that one. He's Lou Manfredini.
It's like those favorite pair of jeans that you put on and they feel right until after you eat too much and you're like, these are not my favorite jeans anymore.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
But I'm saying it better.
Now back to House Smarts Radio.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
We got that performance. We got that performance studio here. Like Bob Ferguson said, "Too bad it wasn't around when Frank Sinatra was here. He could sing in there."
In other words,
hey Joe Brand, I got a sports story for you.
Let's hear it.
I'm flying to after the show today. My wife and I are flying to NYC, and the host of Deep Dish Sports Talk is running the New York City Marathon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we're going to go cheer him on as he runs. 26 and point however many miles it is in New York City.
Now this
through
is
the five boroughs.
This is Quinn's like third marathon.
His fifth.
Fifth.
Yeah. So
I should know more about the host of Deep Dish Sports.
Well, time. You should, yeah. Right? And you should know who was the winning pitcher of the 1986 Mets. But you didn't.
George McDowell, of
George
course.
McDowell.
Everyone remembers his correct name.
I'll find that rejoin. Anyway, he's already in New York eating some pasta, but we're gonna take him out for dinner tonight and get a big carbo meal before he runs. And he's raising money for the Alzheimer's Foundation, which is very nice. A lot of people were kind enough to contribute to his cause, and I think he raised close to $5,000
for
the organization, which is great. He's very good at fundraising and running.
He should promote the podcast, though. He should like run with a slice of deep dish in his hand.
That would be funny. Yeah, that would be funny. I had to make a sign so that we're bringing a sign with us. We're going to roll up in our suitcase when we bring there. So the New York City Marathon runs through all the five boroughs. It runs. It starts on Staten Island, goes through Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn and the Bronx, and ends up in Central Park. So
that's cool. That'll
should
be
fun.
A fun time.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be the weather's supposed to be really nice in New York, like 50 degrees or so. And so you know, tomorrow, are you doing sports tomorrow?
I am not doing sports tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to win. I'm sure it'll be someone from Kenya, but he's hoping to do well. So anyway, that's my sports story for you.
Congratulations, good for him.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I had a chance to go to the headquarters of Brone Newtone. So Brone Newtone is this U.S.-based company. They have this amazing manufacturing facility up in Hartford, Wisconsin. Now, what's really interesting about the state of Wisconsin and Hartford in general, when we went up there with our HouseSmart cameras, and I also had a chance to talk with some of them for the radio show as well, which we're going to share that conversation. But the amount of manufacturing that is going on in this one community in Hartford, Wisconsin, not just Brone Newtone, but other people there, is really quite remarkable. And the need for a workforce to work in these factories is also something that's needed as well. And it kind of comes full circle, because you'll hear me talk a lot about the fact that, you know, there's great opportunities for young people in manufacturing. On our TV show, if you watch House Smarts at all, we did a whole on the road episode with the folks at Brone. And I got to meet some of their employees, some that have been there, the vast majority of them, for many, many, many years. And this opportunity for upward growth within the company, you know, literally starting on the factory line, is there. And it's just so inspiring to see that American manufacturing happening and thriving in the U.S. But it's also a place where there's a lot of innovation, and specifically some things that you can do yourself to update the existing products, Brone products, you may have in your own home. Take a listen.
Joining me is Dave Jones. He is the Senior Marketing Communication Manager for Brone. Dave, thanks so much for joining us on HouseSmarts Radio.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit, and our listeners as well, if they don't know, a little snapshot of who Brone Newtone is as a company.
Yeah, you bet. So Brone Newtone is the oldest home ventilation manufacturer in the country, and the largest at that as well. So we've been around since 1932, making, well, I guess what you would call a range hood, but it wasn't really a hood back then. We've been making those since 32, and ever since then, improving on that, making bath fans, making all sorts of other home ventilation equipment, and just getting better at it every year.
You're headquartered in the Midwest in Hartford, Wisconsin, but you have facilities in other locations as well. About how many people work for your company?
If you take all the locations into account, around 2,500 people work for
Brone. Wow, that's incredible. I had the chance to, several weeks ago, to tour your plant up there in Hartford. And one of the things that I find pretty amazing about, you know, it is absolutely a snapshot of the fact that American manufacturing is alive and well, but you've got a bunch of employees that have been working in that factory, many of them, for a very long time.
Yeah, that's correct. It made me, when I learned to figure, but I think the average tenure of our employees right now is somewhere in the high 20-year mark, like 26 or 27 years. So we've had some really solidly dedicated
homegrown employees, and we love every one of them.
Yeah, we had a chance, to take our TV cameras there for the television show. And I had the chance to talk with, some of those employees. One young lady in particular, started there when she was 19 years old and showed us, actually the line that she was on. And, the opportunity for growth, and in particular, what's interesting is the opportunity for women in manufacturing has really blossomed quite a bit.
Yeah, you're definitely right there. I think her name is Colleen. She did such a great job at her job when she started that we couldn't help but promote her up through the ranks. And wherever she wanted to go, she showed interest somewhere. We let her get there. We helped her along her way. And I think now she's in quality control and a vastly different job than working on the floor, but she's loved everything she's done here.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's so great. Okay. So the meat and potatoes is, you make all these ventilation products and certainly I think a lot of us, if they were to walk into their bathroom right now, they would look up and go, huh, look at that. I have a Brone fan. You have a pretty staggering number of your estimate of how many homes in the U.S. have Brone fans.
Yeah. At last check, we were at about 70 million households have our product in it, either under the Brone or Newtone flagship name. And way back when, we might have come out with a product line that had Nautilus on it or something like that. But we're in about 70 million homes.
Wow. That's incredible to me. It really is. the thing that is maybe a good thing or a bad thing is these products that you make just run and run and run. I mean, these motors just go and go and go, and they move the air, but whatever it may be. But one of the things that you guys have recognized at Brone is the fact that sometimes those grills can look a little funky, and maybe you can't quite get them clean. And you developed a few products that make it super easy for people to swap out those grill covers with hardly, well, really with no tools whatsoever. Talk a little bit about that program.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're really excited about it. We realize that these fans are everywhere and that most people, if they replace it, think, oh, man, I got to replace the whole thing. I'm going to have to get a saw out and cut drywall and crawl into my attic. Nobody wants to do that. I mean, you and I are in the Midwest here. It's hot and humid in the summer. I'm not going up there. Mm-hmm. No way. So what we did was come up with a plan to replace those grills, make it very, very easy. We've got a great LED lighted upgrade for most of the grills out there in the marketplace that you have in your home right now that takes 30 seconds to install if you're quick and you're feeling good about it. it provides that extra little bit of light and makes that nice, clean look. The white color of that grill also matches the most popular ceiling white. So it blends in nicely with whatever decor you've got in your bathroom.
Yeah, it couldn't be any easier. And I think the other thing that you did a really nice job with there is that we're talking about an affordable maintenance or upgrade thing.
That's right.
I mean, these things start at like around $10, depending on the fan.
Yep, $10. Yep, for just a real basic, I just want to replace the grill. It's gotten old and dirty and maybe I just bought the place and just want a fresh start. $10 will get you started, and it'll take you 10 seconds, right, to put it in there. And you can go all the way up to it, fix the whole thing if you're really handy and you want to try your hand at it.
Finally, something else that you guys have really perfected, and I think that this is is really so smart for a lot of people. That fan, if we're talking specifically in a bathroom, is only as good as long as you keep it on. And for a lot of people, they head into the bathroom and they're, taking a shower or whatever, they got the fan on and everyone's in a hurry and they walk out the door and they shut the fan off. And, we didn't give that fan enough time to move all that moisture out of there, depending on how many showers and whatnot. You developed a humidity sensing switch that really is a lot better than what a lot of people may be familiar with out in the marketplace right now. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's right. We even noticed that people turn off the fan before they even get out of the bathroom. So this new switch has got our sense air technology in it, and it senses the humidity in the room. And if it hits above a certain level, say you want to do humidity at 50%, once it hits that mark, it'll kick on automatically and run until it gets to that 50% mark again. And then what's really unique about it is it'll run for another 20 minutes just to make extra sure that it's gotten everything out of the bathroom. You don't have to touch the switch at all other than to turn the light on and off. It works automatically for you. It'll make sure you're removing that excess moisture and making sure that you don't have mildew or mold growing in your grout.
Yeah, Really good. I think that every bathroom should have one, that's for sure. Dave Jones is the Senior Marketing Communication Manager for Brohn. Tell folks where they can go to learn more about all the products that you guys make.
Yeah, you can go to www.brohn.com or you can go to www.newtone.com and you can find a lot of products there.
Dave, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, sir. You too.
He's taking your calls till 10.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Lou Manfredini.
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
Here he is now on Hub Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. You can see when things go naturally. I got my hands up. I'm dancing. Just say the word and I'll pass. Everybody, big stretch. So, you know,
I was going to say, that's dancing? Just Joe, putting your hands up?
Joe, you know, as you know, I do a radio show prior to this show in New York, and then I do one in Los Angeles, you know, right after this show. And we have the KTLA TV show on in Los Angeles. On. It's like their morning show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have some weird thing that they do in the middle of their broadcast. Everyone stands up and stretches. So, like, the anchors are like, oh, you know, the stretch. And then they go to, like, the newsroom and people are all stretching. And, you know, the other thing that they do in Los Angeles, which I find is very interesting, is when the person that does the weather happens to be a woman and the shot, you know, now think about when you watch the weather here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of picture what that is. You know, it's a person standing there and they're in front of the green screen, whatever. But in Los Angeles, the shot is head to toe. So you can see how short the skirt is that the woman's wearing. Only in Los Angeles. I've never seen that. Right?
Like
you don't
see
that.
A full shot
head
of the
entire...
Wait, and you're saying only when the woman does
I don't know that because I only see the woman on the on Saturday broadcast.
Gotcha.
They may do it for a man.
Well, maybe they're just showing up. Yeah, maybe the guy's just wearing shorts because they can. It's L.A. You know, we couldn't do it around here. Everyone's got to be head to toe covered up.
That's true. I like that you're the glass half full guy. Very nice. Well done. So stretch. That was dancing. It was moving with rhythm.
Mm-hmm. A great dancing.
That's what I would have called it. Right, exactly. 3-1-2. You know, I was one of the Chicago Dancing with the Celebrities. I was robbed by a beautiful woman who danced better than me.
Well,
Sarah Gindra.
She had those legs, you know. It's all about that.
She did a really nice job, yeah. And had the good song.
She was good.
Yeah,
you were good too. We know.
I did raise the most money. 312-981-7200. Just saying, that's the thing that was most important. This is Ro in Mundelein. Hey, Ro, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm well. How can I help you?
I have my attic fan that is still working even with this temperature. So my question to you was, is there a switch that I can turn off if I go in the attic or no? Or do I have to have somebody come in and...
Well, do you know...
They probably adjusted, like, I don't know if they adjusted to like 80 or 90, but it's still, with this cold weather, it's still working.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. Is this a recent install or has it been up there for a while?
It was installed when the roof was installed, which was like... maybe 4 years ago.
Okay.
Or five at the most.
And is this the first time you're noticing it running with the colder temperature?
Yes. Okay. Because last year it would run in the mornings and then in the evenings it would be
not running. Okay, then a couple things. You could have a faulty switch. Maybe it has to just be adjusted or lubricated or something like that, or possibly replaced, or maybe they also have a switch that has a humidistat on it, because it's not uncommon that fans now would have both a humidistat and a thermostat. So if there's a high moisture content, which it is kind of damp out there, right? It could be a lot of moisture up there, which is why it's running. Now, do you have access to poke your head up there?
Yes, I can go in through the garage and through the house to see.
And can you see where the fan and or the control thing is for it?
I haven't done it because I wanted to call you to see if it's something that I can do.
Okay, well,
or do I have to have somebody
so
come
here,
in?
So here's what I want you to do. If you can carefully get up on a ladder and poke your head up there with a nice bright flashlight, somewhere near that attic fan, you're going to see a rectangular
probably gray or black box.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the thermostat switch. And okay. What you may see, if your eyesight is good, is you're going to see a little a dial that, like a screwdriver, goes in to adjust the temperature. And if you just see one, okay, then chances are it's just a thermostat. But when you look at that box, if you see two spots, then it could be a temperature and a humidity.
Okay.
And you use a screwdriver to typically adjust these. They're typically with a flathead screwdriver that you adjust it. And so the optimal to me is 90 degrees for the temperature.
Okay.
And
okay.
And 45% humidity.
Okay. One more question. So if I were to get somebody, if I couldn't, for whatever reason, do they have to fix it through the attic, or they do it through the roof?
Through the attic.
Through the attic. Okay.
I doubt it has anything to do with the fan. It has more to do with the control box that's controlling the system.
Okay. And then last question. So do I really, I mean, I know it's supposed to keep the house cooler and everything. Do they really work, in your opinion? They do really do the job?
100%. I am an attic fan believer. And I know a lot of people have different opinions, and but in my opinion, they absolutely are beneficial.
Okay. Last question. So, if
Wait a minute. You just said last question before.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So if it keeps running, it doesn't mean that it's going to burn out, right? Because
no.
I read that they
the
make
fan,
it now.
No. The fan motors want to run. They have no problem. They can run from now until eternity.
Okay.
And they don't use a lot. They don't use a lot of. Wait, one last thing. They don't use a lot of energy.
Okay.
Wait, one last thing.
Yeah.
thank you for calling.
Thank you. Have a good day. Okay.
Bye. Appreciate you calling. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Will be right back.
This is Nick Offerman. Now for some. This is Nick Offerman. Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WD. Son of a... Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGS.
.9 in the morning, House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. This hour of our show is sponsored by Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, by Ace Hardware, and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. You know, my former newsman, Steve Alexander, he's a continued contributor to the show here. He sent me an interesting story that I thought you all might find interesting. It says... it has to do with a cruise. You know, I took that cruise to Alaska. You know, it was wonderful. I had such a great time. And this is a story about, well, I'll just tell you what he sent. So two unicorns are lying in bed one lazy weekend. Mrs. Unicorn is drinking her coffee. Mr. Unicorn's reading the paper. And the kids are all still asleep. He says, wow, looks like there is a big storm heading. Forecast says up to 40 days and 40 nights of rain. Mrs. Unicorn replies, well, thank God we're not going on that crazy cruise thing your whack job friend Noah's having. Right? See that?
I like that one.
Reason why we don't have any unicorns. somebody sent me a text message or an email or something like that saying, oh, I love listening to your show and your dumb jokes. They're not my dumb jokes. They're Steve's jokes. I am just the messenger. Although that's good.
Only when they're really funny are they yours.
Right. Then I totally then take credits for it. Right. Exactly. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Jeff is in Algonquin. Jeff, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Luke. Glad to talk to you. How are you doing today?
I'm terrific. How can I help you?
Listen, I got a smelly situation in my bathroom. We have a wood floor, and underneath that we have a hot water heating coil that heats the floor for us. And it's really nice. But we had a septic backed up, and I got a little smell coming out of the floor, and I need to resolve this without pulling the floor up.
Okay, hold on. So the bathroom has
a wood floor and the toilet is heated or the floor is heated?
The floor is heated.
So there's, what, hot water heat underneath there?
Correct.
Okay. And the toilet sits on the wood floor?
Correct.
So the issue, if you had some sort of septic backup, more than likely you had some, you know, contamination around the closet flange of the toilet that then affected the wood. Have we pulled that toilet yet?
No, I haven't.
All right, so you're going to have to pull the toilet, no question.
Yes.
And once you do that, we got to do some sort of disinfectant cleaner around there first. And as far as you know, was there any buckling of the wood or anything by the toilet or no?
Very little. Okay. About a foot in diameter around the area.
Okay. So let's get that toilet up, and then let's use a cleaner. I mean, I want to use something that's mild at this point. So let's do something as simple as like Dawn dishwashing soap and a scrub brush.
Really?
Yeah. But hear me out. You're going to scrub around that closet flange and get it nice and soapy and, you know, really kind of scrub it well with a brush. And then use a shop vac so you can suck up as much of the wetness that's around there. Stuff a rag inside the closet flange, obviously, to cut down on the odor.
Okay.
Do you have the ability? Do you have another bathroom to use for a couple days?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now we're gonna stuff a rag in there. We're gonna do that cleaning and get it all wiped up and suck up as much as you can. Then I want you to put a fan, like a box fan, in there, and let that thing blow for the next week.
Yes.
On low. That's going to help dry out the floor and dry out any contamination that's around or underneath that floor.
Okay.
In about 3 days, while you still got the fan on there, kill the fan. I want you to buy a product called Funkaway. And they make F-U-N-K away. And I want you, and they make that in a like a small aerosol can, but it's an OMI odor killer that will grab and trap those odors and kill them all, and spray the floor area and around the flange, kind of in that joint between the wood and the flange as well, and get that pretty wet. Turn the fan back on for another couple of days, and then once that odor issue is solved, and it should be, you can put the toilet back on and go. And then you still may have some cupping in the floor, but if you keep a little air moving on there, that should calm down.
Thank you very much, Lou. And I love my Brone exhaust fan.
I love that you love your Brone exhaust fan. And we were talking about the fact, somebody was talking about attic fans. Brone also makes attic fans and controllers as well. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Mary in Riverside. Hey, Mary.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
I have a furnace with a humidifier alongside it. Humidifier has been there 2 years, and this season I don't see any water being discharged from it. I mean, it's turned on as far as I can, you know, the control is, but the water should travel from the humidifier in clear plastic tubing, and that then drains into a floor drain, and I see no moisture coming from it. So I'm assuming there's something amiss.
Well, do you have, when you, on your humidistat or on your humidifier, do you have a dial that lets you adjust the setting for the unit?
The humidistat, I think, is upstairs near the furnace, the other control, and it's on. It's turned to a number that we had used previously, winter.
Okay, here's what I would do, because it is very it's the humidity level outside is pretty high. If you want to, before you call somebody, turn it all the way up. There may even be a setting that says test, and then turn up the furnace like to, you know, 75 degrees. So you kick it on and see if when you do that, if water comes out.
Okay. So, you know, it's kind of hard. Okay, so we sit there in the basement and watch for it. And
it should happen pretty quick. If you turn it all the way up and turn the furnace on, give it 5 minutes and go downstairs, and then you should see the water. And then if you don't, then that would be a time for you to call an HVAC contractor to come out. There could be an issue with the solenoid that lets the water feed into it that could be replaced, or there could be a clog in the filter. Any number of things can be causing this problem.
Okay. All right, then. I'll give that a try.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou. That's right, that fix-it guy. Right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Over the horizon, smooth sailing. He's got me to see.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Reggie's in Oak Park. Hey, Reggie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. I love your show.
Thank you. How can I help you?
I got a little problem with my furnace. It was running fine, and all of a sudden, it stopped running. I lit the pilot on it, and the pilot lights, but doesn't seem to ignite the rest of the system.
All right, so you've got an old enough furnace that you actually have a pilot light.
Yes.
Okay. And the pilot light will stay on, so the thermocoupler obviously is working, but the system just will not ignite.
Correct.
Okay. I mean, there's a, you know, the gas valve has a gas sensor. That thermocoupler is there to make sure the pilot is lit, but there could be a communication issue between the thermocoupler and the gas valve that is not communicating. Now, you're obviously handy enough to light that. Do you see the line, the wire, the solid wire that's going into the gas valve from the thermocoupler?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a little brass male connector right there with the system off. If you want to try this and just loosen it, crack it, loosen it, and tighten it back up again to see if you can go ahead.
Loosen the valve. I'm sorry. Loosen the valve.
Not the valve. No. Not the valve. The wire coming from the thermocoupler that goes into the gas valve.
Loosen that.
Just a crack, just a little bit.
Did it go clockwise? And
well, it's lefty, righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. Right.
Okay.
And then try and tighten it again and see if it ignites. If it doesn't, make sure the furnace is off before you do this. Then turn the furnace back on. And if it doesn't ignite, you need a HVAC person to come out there. You probably got an issue with the burner or the gas valve.
Okay, well, what's the policy there? They come out and give you an estimate?
They'll come out, run some tests on it, and figure it out. Two companies, Dykstra Home Services or American Weathermakers, both of them are fine, high-quality sponsors of this show and this radio station and can do a really nice job for you, so give them a call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, and that's the number that Kathy in Northbrook called. Hi, Kathy. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Good. I have a question. New construction. The family room in the back, it's probably 25 by 25. French doors on the east wall. There's a huge wall of windows on the south. And flanking the fireplace, there's two windows pretty much from ceiling, and then we have window benches underneath. There's only three vents for heating in front of those windows and two returns across the room on the wall. It's a little chilly in there. Is there a rule of thumb for size of room times how many openings you have times, like, whatever?
Oh, yeah. It's called
a calculation.
Right. It's called a load calculation, and all of the things you just mentioned go into that. So the size of the room, the amount of windows, the amount of glass space that the windows have, the height of the room, and even the fireplace because of the loss of heating, from that space. Now, you said you have three registers in that room?
Yeah, and they're in front of the windows.
Which is where they should be. And where is the thermostat?
It is in a hallway about two rooms away.
Right.
The other thing, too, the kitchen only has one vent under the sink.
Right. But is the kitchen connected to that family room?
kind of, the family room is a step down.
Yeah, right. But I mean, the airspace is there. So
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's a couple things that you can do. I mean, your that hallway that you talk about where the thermostat is.
Yeah.
What's on the other side of that? Your dining room and maybe living room?
Yeah. Why? Have you been through the house?
And I'm going to guess you're never in those rooms.
No, that's not true. There's a sunroom off of that, so sit in there all the time because it's roasty toasty in there.
Right. So you have two choices.
My question
you have,
to you is,
you have like, three. You have. Hard, hold on.
How hard is it to add vent?
That's
to do that.
Yeah, that's not what you're going to do. You have really two choices.
Okay.
You can have them relocate the thermostat into that room, the kitchen and family room, and then that'll be the guide for the rest of the home. Then the thermostat there will say, hey, I want 72 degrees, and I'm going to do whatever I can to get to 72 degrees and see if that helps. The second thing you can do is you can close the vents on the front half of that house to force more of the warm air and to slow the heating of that space without having to move anything. So that's something you can do right now. Go to every other room on that first, go to every other room that's toasty and roasty and close the vents 50%.
Because it is zoned. We've got a furnace in the basement for the first floor.
Correct.
And then there's a furnace up in the attic.
We need to get more pressure. It sounds like the amount of registers you have back there is fine. It's just that you have all this window space. And if you balance the system out, you may be able to accomplish this just by doing that.
Okay.
If that doesn't work, like I tried this, Lou, it doesn't work, then relocating the thermostat could be an option. Then actually, I'm just thinking this through. You have a third option. You could put a split system in there, which is a separate heating and cooling system that you mount a cartridge on a wall, which ultimately would be cheaper than you trying to add vents.
And how does that work?
It's a separate heating and cooling system with its own thermostat that will do that living room that you could probably do for about $2,500.
So where is the unit that connects to that thermostat?
The wall unit is a cartridge that hangs on the wall, like low or high.
Oh, yeah, no. Okay.
And a condensing unit on the outside.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think so. Okay, all right, but that's a good suggestion.
I think that if you think about it, they're pretty small. You wouldn't even know. They even have some that go in the wall.
Okay.
Don't say no until you know all the facts. Look, do a little investigation.
We're talking
aesthetic. No, I know, but there's versions of this that you won't even know it's there, and you'll have pinpoint comfort with a system like that for that room. So do a little investigation of what's called a split system or a ductless system, and you'll be amazed at some of the options that are out there. Thanks so much for the phone call. We'll be right back.
I have to tell you, I went to Menards.
Yeah.
And I got a hold of a guy in the paint section, and he said, oh, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. We got about 20 minutes or so left of the show, so if there's anything I can help you with, pick up the phone and give us a call. John Williams off today, and G is filling in, so she'll be in at 10 o'clock this morning, so stay tuned for that. She'll be here until noon. Let's get back to your phone calls now. This is Gary in Oak Park. Hey, Gary, you're on WGN.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Morning. Yeah. I'm going to install engineered flooring glued down over concrete.
Okay.
And I'm also going to be putting in new carpeting, both at the same time. What do I put down first, the engineered flooring, or do I put down the carpeting?
Engineered flooring. Because you're going to have glue and mess and cutting and all that kind of stuff. And then once you put that flooring down, are you doing this or are you having someone do it?
No, I'm having someone do it.
Yeah, so put that floor down. And then when they're done, you're going to put some rosin paper over the top of it and tape it down. And then they'll bring the carpeting in and do all that. And then you'll pull up the rosin paper and you're good to go. But that kind of the rule of thumb when it comes to the order of things that you do, the stuff that makes the most mess, that goes down first.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Now, what if glue starts seeping through the floor? Because I've seen people had that done in our building.
Well, I mean, if they, you want to have some people to know what the heck they're doing to get this flooring down. I mean, are you the engineered wood flooring? Are you doing it because you want to be able to screen or refinish the floor at some point?
No, no. I just think instead of doing the entire floor, I want to do it in that type of method.
No, no, no. I understand that, but in other words, if you're going to do a, you know, if you're going to do a, you know, that kind of flooring, then I think you could also consider doing a luxury vinyl tile that looks like wood. That, quite honestly, Gary, if you put it down and you stood there and looked at it, you'd be hard pressed knowing it's not real wood. And then there's no glue; it's just a floating floor over the concrete.
Really,
it's really nice stuff.
Okay,
and it probably it'll probably save you a little bit of money because there's no glue; it clicks together. It looks really nice. It's an area where you get what you pay for. You would still put that down before the carpeting.
Okay.
But I would look into that as well, because I think you'll be pretty happy with that finished look. Gary, thanks so much for the phone call. I'm going to move on and try and get some more calls in. This is Cindy in Frankfurt. Hi, Cindy. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou.
Good morning. How can I help you?
I moved into a new townhome a year ago, November. And since then, I've on three occasions, I've had water come up through the concrete in the middle of the basement for no reason. The sump pump is working. The builder actually replaced the sump pump with a bigger one, but it hasn't solved the problem. It doesn't happen during heavy rains. It just happens for no reason.
So the middle, the basement's unfinished.
Yes.
In the middle of the floor, the water comes up.
Yes.
And you've been in this this home how long?
Since November of last year.
And it's in, it was new in November of last year?
Yes.
And to the best of your knowledge, there's no floor drain that got concreted over, is there?
Not that I know of. I've had, you know, they've come and they've, you know, the drain for the ejector pump works. The sump pump works and is running during the time when this happens.
Where is the drain? So you have an ejector pit.
Yes.
And there is a floor drain.
Yes.
And where is that in relation to where the water comes up?
There is not water around that drain when the water comes up.
And how close is that to the area where this is happening?
It's fairly close.
Hmm.
And the hot water, I mean, they've said it's the hot water leaking, heater leaking. It's not that. It's not the water softener. Both of those are not causing the water.
Mm-hmm. And when the builder came back, did they, like, take the... It doesn't make any sense to me, because if you have a sump pump and perimeter drain tile, if it's ground, if it's groundwater, that sump pump should be handling that water, no problem. The fact that you're getting a backup in the center or near this area makes me think that it's some that there's a errant drain under the concrete that got concreted over. But why it would be, if the ejector pit is there, this doesn't make any sense to me. I think
it doesn't make sense to anyone. But
yeah,
it's happened June, September, and October.
Okay. And this is an unfinished basement, right?
Yes.
And we're still under warranty, under the builder's warranty type of thing?
I believe so, yes. Yeah.
This would be my suggestion to try and figure out what's going on. I would talk to the builder about coming in with a concrete saw and cutting in that exact area where this problem is occurring a 2-foot by 2-foot square and take the concrete out and expose the gravel.
Okay, I have spoken to him about that.
And I think that then we're going to expose the gravel and take the concrete out, and we're going to have a better idea of why this is occurring.
Okay.
And maybe there's some pipe that is not connected. It got laid there that's, for some reason, backing up
or something's occurring under there that shouldn't be, but the only way we're going to know is if we cut out that concrete. Then they can come back and fill the concrete back in. I mean, you'll have a little 2-foot by 2-foot area, but it's not that big of a deal to do what I'm saying, and then you can solve this problem once and for all.
Okay. Okay, yes, I've spoken to him about that, and I've yet to hear back from him.
Okay. Let me know, once you talk to him, let me know what happens, okay?
Okay.
I appreciate you calling this morning. We're going to take a quick break and be back right after this. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Ken. Ken, you're in South Carolina?
I am.
How can I help you?
Yes. Actually, you caught my attention a little bit earlier when you were talking to the lady about the attic fans. Have you ever heard of a product called Quiet Cool? And what it is it's a smart technology attic fan, because I'm looking to replace mine down here because it has died. And what it has, it's like an ECM, and it'll actually ramp up and ramp down to what it needs to do. So do you think this is a gimmick, or you think this is a good idea?
It's an attic fan or a whole house fan?
No, this is an attic fan.
I mean, yes. Here's the thing. When it comes to attic fans, in my opinion, the benefit of them is this. That attic space gets really hot. We have, you know, we have insulation up there to temper the difference between the temperature down below and the temperature up in that attic space. When that gets hot, I want that air out of there as fast as possible. And attic fans, the blower fans, hardly use any energy whatsoever. You know what I mean? It's not like there's this huge draw. So the ramping up, yeah, I suppose if it ran low, it would not get as hot, you know, and maybe what the idea behind it is that instead of waiting to get it to 90 degrees, you know, it's going to be like, oh, it's getting warmer. Let's turn this thing on low and try and control it. But I don't know. To me, I don't necessarily know that's worth the investment, because when it's hot up there, I want to get as much of that hot air out of there as quickly as possible and maintain it. And if you get a good attic fan that's got at least 600 CFMs or so, that's going to do the trick.
Okay. And then going one step further, what's your feelings on whole house fans also? Because this very same company makes ECM whole house fans also.
In my opinion, every home in America should have a whole house fan. I think that, you know, other than people that suffer from allergies and asthma that really need to do a good job, you know, they need that system to control the indoor air quality inside their home by not bringing in the fresh air. I think that something we've gotten away from is, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, homes had whole house fans. Now, the problem with them back then was they were, they were super noisy. And now that's not the case anymore. They're much more quiet. And there's a company that I've talked about that is called Tamtec out of either Rhode Island or Boston. They make super quiet whole house fans, and you can buy them, you know, across the country. And they have these barn doors on them that open up. They're insulated barn doors that when the fan kicks on, these barn doors open up in the attic space, and they suck all that hot air from the living space, and then they pump it up into the attic, and the whole idea then is that the you know, the vents will force it out. But if you have an attic fan, it's kind of a two-step process, and that'll take the hot air and get rid of it as well.
Okay.
So I'm a big fan of whole house fans and attic fans, and the one you talk about with that issue with the ramping up, I don't know the specific product, but I don't necessarily know. It sounds like it's a good gimmick to try and sell it. Thanks for the phone call. This is Tim in Chicago. Tim, how can I help you?
Hi. It's Kim. My problem
is
water in the basement from a new spot under the furnace. And we often would get seepage after a lot of rain, but the trickle would come from the wall, most recently from the north wall. And that wall is bare cement there. But a week ago, for the first time, there was water around the furnace. And the furnace is set on like a cinder block about 4 inches high.
Right.
And the water seems to be originating from below the cinder block.
Okay.
And we could walk around. There's actually two furnaces side by side because it's a two-story house. And we could walk around the furnace, and the floor is all dry around it.
Okay. Well, we could have some kind of moisture or some leaking from inside of the furnace. And so, you know, the first thing I would tell you is there's probably an access panel on the lower portion of this furnace. And if you're comfortable doing this with the furnace off, I would take that access panel off to see if there's any water damage or moisture inside there that's being originated from the system itself.
Okay, because that was my thought, right? I thought, who should I call? Is this a furnace problem?
Yeah, I would start. If you're not seeing any water around the perimeter of this thing, I would start with a heating and cooling, an HVAC contractor to come out and take a look.
What do you mean if I'm not seeing any water around?
Well, in other words,
coming in from the walls,
right, you said I can walk around it and there's no water, and normally you'd get water out there, but if you're getting water from the bottom there,
from under the cinder block, though, as opposed to leaking out, like, from the furnace onto the cinder block.
Right.
And the water is coming out to the point where I put down towels and rags, and I can wring water out of them. Like,
And so, right now it's happening.
Yeah, right. For the whole day. I came home.
If you have a whole house humidifier, that could be on.
I don't think it's that.
Okay. I would get a HVAC contractor to come out and take a look at it.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. We'll be right back.
So long, farewell. Happy to Zane Babubi. Bebe. Papa.
There's, is it Daryl in Vernon Hills? Daryl? Dale? Can you move your cursor?
Yes, I'm here.
I can't see the name. I get that. Daryl. Hi, Daryl. You're on WGN.
Hey, Lou. What's going on? How you doing, man?
Good. How can I help you?
Well, I had a new shower in the master bath installed recently, and I used it for a while, and my neighbor came upstairs and knocked on the door and said, oh my God, that drain is making a god-awful noise. And I'm like, as soon as the water hits the drain, it's just like this, I don't know if I can describe it, but it's like, and it doesn't stop until you turn the shower off. And it's waking up my neighbors down below.
Wait a minute.
I wonder if there's anything we can do about it.
Is it the drain or is it the faucet?
It's the drain in the shower. As soon as the water starts going down the drain, it's this god-awful noise. I mean, it's so loud.
Okay, and this is a shower pan that you have in there?
Okay. Brand new pan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they replaced the pan, the drain. I mean, a whole new shower. Tore it out and put a new one in.
When was this?
The water, they did it maybe July, August, right in there.
And this has been happening ever since?
Yes. And the original shower, it was fine. There was no noise whatsoever.
And as far as you know, they didn't change any of the plumbing underneath there?
No, they couldn't do that. No,
No odors coming up through the drain. Like that.
I even called the master plumber Steve Cochran, and he wouldn't answer the phone.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Well, that's not going to happen.
I had to call you.
Is it a round drain? Is it a trough drain? What is it?
It's a round drain.
It's a round drain in the center of the shower pan.
Yes, exactly.
I got to think about this one. Get Daryl's number because we're going to call him back next week because we're running out of time here. Thanks so much for listening. Lindsay for producing. Bob Ferguson for hitting all the buttons. Maple on News. Joe Brand, thanks for doing sports. Thank you all for listening. Good luck to my son in the New York City Marathon. Run, Forrest, run! And remember, if you want to join us in Ireland, call Steve Bertrand. Email Steve at stevebertrandtravel.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.